Thank you, and good morning. I just want to let you know that there are two handouts in the back of the room that you're welcome to take. And they might, a lot of the information I'm going to talk about is in them, but there's also a lot more information. I'm presenting on behalf of my colleague Mary Krieger, so please bear with me. And with that, here. So I'm going to be talking about employing a systems change framework to evaluate health and education policy advocacy in California, which is really about breaking down silos between education policymakers and health policymakers. I have no financial disclosures. So this is an overview of the presentation. I'm going to begin by going through some connections between health and education, which will probably be familiar to most of you, and then talk a little bit about the health status of California students, and then go through building capacity with state-level policymakers and community organizations, and some of the evidence that we've used to build that capacity, and then talk about successes and challenges, and go through our next steps. So, research shows that health and learning are connected. Health issues deepen inequity in our society. Many education reform efforts are limited when they do not also address underlying health issues with students. And new research points to several cost-effective solutions to help schools address health. And a lot of those cost-effective solutions are covered in one of the handouts in the back. So when we're talking about health and thinking about health, we're looking at a really broad definition, including physical, mental, emotional, and environmental context. So something like stress, for example, and students' concern for their own safety can impede learning. And environmental exposures, including indoor and outdoor air, can lead to decreased academic performance. To address this broad definition of health, it is important to engage a coordinated system of school, community, and state services. So how does health affect California students? It affects student dropout rates, attendance, learning engagement, academic performance, and school district revenues. And I just, I'm going to read this quote at the top, which is from 1998. Growing numbers of children are coming to school with health-related problems that impede their learning. Many young people engage in unhealthy behaviors that sap their motivation to learn and threaten their future. And there's also a list of many other studies that have documented this connection. And so we know about it. It's just a matter of figuring out how to act on this knowledge. And here's some examples of that research. So examples, improving curriculum, instruction, and governance are often not sufficient to turn around low-performing students and schools. In order to fully benefit from these improvements, we need to create engaging, safe, and supportive school climates and communities and reduce health-related barriers in schools. We need to strengthen school and community collaboration and make policy changes that help support students. So this is the health status of California 11th graders. 66% do not feel highly connected to their schools. About 60% do not have an adult in school who communicates high expectations or caring. 40% do not feel safe or very safe at school. 30% are harassed at school, and 26% have seen a weapon there. 21% have been drunk or high on drugs at school, and 33% felt chronic sadness that interfered with normal activities such as schoolwork. Those are some pretty dire statistics. And so what's happening in schools that's leading to that scenario? There's a lack of internal coordination of services, a lack of external coordination and referrals to community services, poor sustainability of the programs that are in place. Student services, supports, and resources decline after elementary school, which is just when the students need them more. And budgetary and testing challenges are contributing to program cuts. So In California, we have very few nurses in the school. They might be at a school for half a day per week, and they're swamped with paperwork, barely get to see their students. Also, we're cutting back on health education, sports, physical education, and recess. It's really important for this work to find champions at all of the different levels, local, communities, school districts, region, and state, because change needs to happen across all of those different levels. Here are some examples of strategies we use to build capacity. Establish goals and objectives, create vision and strategies, but make sure to maintain flexibility. Identify champions at those levels that I just mentioned. Involve key stakeholders so that you can actually get change done. People in power are important to connect with. Disseminate information and educate policymakers, and maintain connections among the group. Here are some example objectives that we've used. So offering healthy lifestyle choices, including healthy eating and exercise, making health and support services accessible, and ensuring school environments support emotional and physical health, as well as safety, including safe passage to school. It's also important to remember that context is key. California has a budget deficit that predates the current recession, so we're always trying to focus on cost-effective solutions to bring to policymakers. And it was important to keep in mind the broad definition of health that is affected by so many factors, including health, social services, transportation, employment, and state revenues. Just as an example of that multi-sector approach, both built environment and transportation affect community health, such as asthma, obesity, and mental health. And just to give some examples of how health impacts the achievement gap, health disparities are a really big problem in California. So there are more freeways, ports, and other sources of pollution located in low-income communities and communities of color. And low-income communities have increased stressors related to transportation systems, absence of fresh fruits and vegetables, and green space for recreation. So, this is a slide that's showing some of the specific terminology, goals, and strategies that we focused on, including improving physical health, increasing activities related to positive youth development and resilience, reducing risk behaviors, increasing safety, improving mental health, and improving school and community environments, including reducing toxics. And this is a diagram that's just showing the multi-sectored pieces that all go into making healthy children. And it's why it's so important to reach across different sectors and try and break down silos. So here's some examples of the data that we discussed with policymakers around resilience, chronic diseases, absences, achievement, fiscal costs of health-related issues, dropouts, and the achievement gap. When we're talking about resilience, we're really talking about implementing the protective factors, three protective factors, which are caring relationships with an adult, supportive messages of high expectations, and opportunities for meaningful participation. And I just want to tell you briefly about some work we did with a program called the Boys and Men of Color in California at the Hillcrest Elementary School in South Central Los Angeles. And in that program, we implemented these three protective factors. And after just 1 year, there was a statistically significant increase in reading tests and a statistically significant increase in math scores. So health impacts attendance as well. Asthma is the leading cause of school absences due to a chronic condition. 1.9 million days are missed in California in 2005 due to asthma. And youth with asthma cost California school districts over $38.7 million in lost ADA. So I'll just explain that quickly. ADA is average daily attendance, and that's a value that the state of California pays to California school districts for the number of students who are in their seat every day. So when a student's absent, the school district misses out on money. And we did an extensive study that looked into how much money that's costing individual school districts and the state in total. So, additionally, 51 million school hours were lost nationally per year due to poor dental health. This is an example of how sort of wraparound activities can improve student health. So there were improvements in California test scores over 1 year, in 2001 to 2002, in secondary schools, and those improvements were associated with increased physical activity, increased breakfast consumption, increased school safety, increased caring relationships at school, and increased high expectations, along with a decrease in substance use, theft and vandalism, and incapacitating sadness. So health impacts dropouts as well, and one of the strongest predictors of dropping out of school is poor academic achievement, starting as early as elementary school. Additionally, absenteeism is a strong indicator of dropping out. So if kids are missing school because they're not healthy, that can lead to dropouts later on. And the lifetime economic loss to California from one cohort of 120,000 20-year-old dropouts was $4.6 billion. Those losses are attributed to externalities, crime, net fiscal costs such as health care, criminal justice, welfare, and then their net earnings. So back to the school budgets, and the reason we're stressing the money is because policymakers will listen and are willing to make changes when it comes to money. So illness-related absences cost California schools $670 million annually. And additionally, there are costs related to hiring and training new teachers to replace those who leave because of poor school climate and unhealthy conditions. So this is a photo from the Sacramento Lobby Day. And I just want to say that this is really difficult work, especially during these economic times. And while some policymakers absolutely get what we're talking about and the connection between health and education, it's definitely still an uphill battle to convince everyone that these two are linked and that they need to be addressed. But not to be a total doomsday person, I've also brought a few examples of cost-effective strategies that are working. So, for example, in Shasta County, they've employed innovative funding streams to meet nutritional needs by taking Medicaid administrative activities monies and using them to fund breakfast programs. And some schools are finding that changing their air filters routinely, which shouldn't cost too much money, reduces the number of student and teacher absences due to asthma. Solano has been doing amazing work in this area and has implemented a strategy to improve ventilation, reduce moisture, and eliminate food storage in classrooms to reduce asthma triggers. And in Alameda County, they've leveraged $2 million of master tobacco settlement monies to increase their Medicaid early periodic screening, diagnosis, and treatment budget by approximately $38 million to support mental health services. So even though the economy is really down, there are innovative ways to find funding. Next steps for our project include reinforcing the connections made between policymakers and other champions across sectors, continuing knowledge sharing with effective programs, defining a policy agenda for state, including creating a children's cabinet as a clearinghouse for state policies across silos, and using media to disseminate lessons learned. There's my contact information, and Mary Krieger's is below mine, and she has much more knowledge on all of these things than I do. So I encourage you to get in touch with her as well.
Are there just a little bit of time for questions? Any questions?
Yeah. I'm curious how you make the connection between health interventions and a lot of those student support academic improvements. How's that?
That particular study, I'm not sure about that. I'll have to get back to you. The one with all the arrows that are up and down. Yeah, I'll have to get you the specifics on that study. Yeah?
How did you gather this information from the students? Is there a standardized survey or
you do through the state?
For the material in the presentation?
Yeah.
A lot of it is based on work that's done by WestEd out in California, and so they do a lot of testing at the school level. And so the two packets, the handouts that are in the back, are part of a much bigger project, and if you go online to that website, you can see a lot more studies that they've been doing.
Do you
know how the... they use the master settlement money for ETSDT funding to use in school mental health?
I don't know the details of that. Yeah, Mary can.
Because it's hard to find money for mental health services
right.
in the schools, so that's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.